You're listening to the Third Cup of Coffee podcast.
Good to see everybody this morning. I get to do what is really one of the most favorite things that I ever get to do, which is introduce friends to friends, especially when there are friends who've been very significant in our lives. And as I was thinking this morning about introducing Lou, I could actually spend a whole morning introducing Lou. Like, there are so many stories and facets to the nearly 20 years that we have been running together that I want you to know, just because they're so important to us. But the one that I thought of this week that really was highlighted to me was when we started working with Lou and Therese, they didn't know us really at all. We knew him from having a larger platform and had spent maybe cumulative 3 or 4 hours with him personally. We just hadn't been together that much. Lord just kind of put us together in Washington, D.C. And 2 or 3 days after we got there, we end up in a little condominium across from on the backside of the Capitol, just down the street from the U.S. Supreme Court. What's the guy's name? Downstairs. Dick Simmons. Some of you know the name Dick Simmons. Had been an intercessor for the kind of the governmental realm for decades. We end up in his condo. And again, we've just started, and we really don't know these folks that well. We just know the Lord's pulled us into this storyline. And Lou and Therese take us into a room, Kelsey and I, and we sit down. And they said, if we're going to run together, we want to make covenant with you. We want to pray with you, and we want to make some promises to you. And they promised in that moment, we will never speak ill of you. We will never disregard you. I mean, they made deep friendship promises that have been held to for now going on 20 years. It had a profound effect on me, but it's even more now, 20 years. There's a lot of water under the bridge. And they have been the most faithful of friends. The other day I was in a meeting where... You know I'm really fond of icebreakers. I'm not. But they did this art icebreaker where everybody said, write down the name of one of the kindest people you know. Sorry, Lou, I wrote Therese. I wrote Therese Engel. But if I were to write two, you would have made the cut. Because I have never, ever walked with anybody who always assumed the best of people, even sometimes when the worst had been clearly proven. And they're the kind of people you want in your corner. And we are grateful that they are in the corner of the bridge. Our very first Sunday in this building, Lou spoke. Just kind of very happenstance. A lot of things happenstance around Lou. Just a lot of things. And here we are in a season of dreaming, and Tuesday we had coffee, and he said, what are you going to do tonight? And I said, we're going to go talk about dreams. And he said, can I come? And that was kind of a no-brainer. And so he joined us for Tuesday night, and then a few days later, I don't pull this card very often, but I said, Lou, I really need you. Would you please come and preach? And he said yes. So please welcome our friend Lou Engel.
It is so good to be with you, Randy and Kelsey. I don't know how you explain these things, but it's when there's something beyond decisions that connect a relationship. It's actually affection that's born of God, where David and Jonathan made covenant because God knit them together. And I think we cry about you guys more than anybody, in a good way. If you don't know me, I rock, and so you do it this way, we'll do rock and roll, you know. And I'm kind of nervous. Today, I want to bring you into my journey. I'm kind of selfish this morning because I feel like I need help from heaven to fulfill a great dream. But it's not just that. It's also that I believe in fulfilling the dreams that God gives leaders like Randy, Kelsey. You also step into the fulfillment of your own dreams. It's one thing to be a dreamer. It's another thing to create a family of dreams. And I just want to say, Daniel, I'm so proud of what you're doing. And I think what happened with you on this dream stream in Taiwan, you're stepping into your name, that you are a Daniel in the nations of the earth. And you will step into that kind of prophetic calling in high places, and God's going to use you to really be a friend of God and shift history by praying what you hear. I'm glad to be with young people here. I remember the first, maybe one of the first dreams I ever had. And it's when I realized that you've got to do the dream. I was actually a youth leader in a Methodist church that wasn't too successful. I got fired. I had a lot of passion, but no character. I won't tell you the details, but you guys know the details. Really bad. But I got fired. But I think I've been fired 5 times, and every time was a promotion. You know what I mean? God has his ways. And I got fired, and I started gathering young people, and a little mini Jesus movement began to break out in, I think it was around 1977 that I was in this place and with these young people in Ashland, Ohio. And I had a dream. Because every Saturday that we would teach with these kids, and it was a great time. And I laid down in a hotel lobby room, why, I don't know, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I'm supposed to be teaching these kids. And so we're all in the living room, and I open my mouth to teach, and no words come out of my mouth. But they explode in worship to the song, I Exalt Thee. It's a revival I'm dreaming about. I'm trying to teach. I can't say anything. And they explode in singing the song that had just been written in 1977, I Exalt Thee. Did you know this, Becky? How about that? There's a story you don't know. These folks have heard all my stories. So I decided that I would just do the dream. So that Saturday, I told the kids, I'm not teaching today, so I'm going to teach you a song that had just been written called I Exalt Thee. And when I taught the song, the same thing happened in the living room that happened in my dream. The Holy Spirit falls, and kids are weeping and worshiping, and I realize dreams are real. In fact, dreams of the day and dreams of the night, they come from the same place. The Bible says this. He says, unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly, but beyond all that you can think or imagine. As I understand it from my friend, the word imagine it's a word that calls from the word photos. That God, through dreams, puts photos in our minds that create imaginations that lift us above the mundane and catch us up into a hope-filled world of that which was not possible before. In a moment, a photo happens in your life, and you become changed by gazing at that photo. I've been living my whole life. Well, not my whole life. After I was 22, I got saved. But I've been living my life in a dream stream, and I'm thrilled that you guys are in this dream. Now, you really don't want to do dream stream. It will mess your life up. Like Joseph of old. Joseph has a dream. I've shared this a million times. I got to get to the message. But Joseph has a dream, and he can't wait to tell his brothers the dream. Dreams ache to be told. How many have ever had a dream and you just ache to tell it? Why? That's the aching of the Lord inside of you to speak forth that dream, because when you speak it forth, it carries the power of its own future. It creates a future when you speak it. Help me now. When you speak a dream, it leads you to the pit, but it creates its own future. It's like prophecy. You speak it and bones begin to rattle. So Joseph tells his dream, and his brothers hate him. And people say, well, he should never have told his dreams to his brothers. And I always say, how else is he going to get to Egypt? It sets something in motion, and he lives his whole life under the shadow of a dominating prophecy. Most people have given up on their dreams. But today we take it back up, because even if you're old, your old men dream dreams. Your old dudes dream dreams. I am dreaming more dreams than I can imagine. I have to almost say, God, help me. Well, I've come to a place of help. I'm going to share with you a story that I'm in right now, and I'm asking if Bridge would be a bridge to the fulfillment of that dream. Because it's not just disconnected, it's actually deeply connected to the storyline of Randy and Kelsey. 1999, and you may know this story, I prayed a prayer that was very dangerous. And that prayer was this: how can I turn America back to God? I look back over my life to defining moments when I prayed a prayer that set heaven in motion. Oh, there's something powerful, young people. When you pray a prayer and heaven begins to move towards you on the basis of that prayer. There's a guy named Jabez in the Bible. He was born in pain. This is a Gen Z prayer. Jabez, born in pain. So his mom called him pain. So he lives his life under the ridicule and the bullying of your name's pain. Hey, pain in the neck. Can you imagine walking around with a name called pain? But he doesn't turn his pain into bitterness, unforgiveness, and anger. He turns his pain into prayer. And this is his prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and extend my boundaries. Lay your hand upon me. And deliver me from Satan's schemes. Lord, I will not let my past or even my parents, their curses or whatever took place, I will not let them define who I am. I'm going to turn my prayer, my pain into a prayer and turn God loose on my life and make it extraordinary. Come on. Oh, say that. Front row. Oh. No, like this. Oh! Oh! I was a youth group leader. I told you that. See, people, that book sold millions of copies. And people were just mocking. Why does the church mock success? The book goes viral all over the world. And people are saying, well, it's just a formula prayer. Oh, I'm going to all do in formula prayer. Oh, that you'd bless me indeed, extend my boundary, lay your hand above. Everybody's prayed the prayer. No, there's one word that keeps that prayer from being a formula. It's the first word. Oh! Yeah, that's right. Come on, do it again. Oh! You'll never forget this. You go out into the woods out back of your house when you're screaming in pain inside. And you say, oh! Make my life extraordinary. Give me dreams. Tell me your thoughts about me. Not what I was named. Not what I was called. I want to be framed by the prophecies and dreams of God. Not framed by somebody else's message. Come on, kids. Live your life this way. How are we all doing? I think that was worth the whole meeting right there. Let's go. We're done. I remember in the 90s, reading a book about fasting, miserable. And the book said you could, like John the Baptist, according to his desire, you could have a 2 or a 7 or a 10 influence. When I read that, something jumped in my spirit way before the call, way before I was ever known, and I cried out, give me an influence of a 10 in America. I had no idea that God takes you up on those kinds of prayers. And I still haven't gotten to a 10, but I'm believing for it. I'm believing that what I prayed set in motion a widow that came to me and said, I'm going to pay your salary this year, and you're going to start something with the youth of America that will change the destiny of the nation. I've got to believe that God will not fasten my soul to a dead-end vision. When I cried out to God, he loosed millionaires into my life. And some of us have to come out of the shadows of bitterness and pain. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He's not in your old patterns. He's not in your bitterness. He's not in your past hurts and wounds. Get out of here. He's not in this death tomb. He has already gone to Galilee. Find out where he's going. Father, I pray, loose dreams on this company to tell them where you're going. That's what happens when God gives a destiny dream to somebody. It changes the course of their lives. You don't need a self-help book. A dream from God will tell you, like, oh, that dude Gideon, oh, man, you're the guy. Oh, lift your hands and pray. Lord, I don't want to live in the tomb stage. Why are you looking? Some of us are in tomb stage doing the same thing over and over and over again. When God has said, it ain't working, that's why you're bored to death. He subjects everything to futility that you might groan for a new future. Father, in the name of Jesus, loose dreams. Make this a dream community for the whole city and beyond. And not just that, I'm asking today, make them a dream community for sake of America. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I pray, God, give me an influence of a 10. It seems so insane. I want to tell you, when you pray prayers like this, God will confirm to you what you're praying. I remember reading that, and I said, God, confirm this to me. You want me to be a Nazirite. You want me to believe for a 10. I go to a meeting soon after that. A guy's preaching, and he says, and you can have an influence of a 2 or a 7 or a 10 according to your desire. Gave an altar call. I ran for the altar, dove into the altar. Sometimes you got to dive to the altar. All this passivity. God's looking for people who are determined to lay hold of the novel he wrote about their lives before they were ever conceived. To take this casually, to take your dreams casually, is a tragedy. Tragedy is to miss your star. That's what it means. Tragedy means to miss your star. I don't want to miss my Esther star in these days. And this is where I'm going. Over this whole journey, something began to grip me. It was in probably 40 years ago. I read a book called Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting by Derek Prince. And in that, there was a chapter that fasting precipitates the latter rain. And he talks about the fast of Esther. When I read it, it said that the fast of Esther literally shifted the public policy of pagan Persia. Can a fast shift a policy of a pagan America? Who knows? That's what it says in both Joel and in Esther. Who knows for such a time as this? Who knows? God may relent. There's something about united, massive fasting in faith that releases the who knows. Maybe God will turn and shift this thing. But the who knows of God is filled with possibilities and hope. This captured me. I fell in love with the book of Esther. God is not even named in the book of Esther. That's what makes it a profound book. Because you see, when it seems like God is not around, God is so far from your life, God is so far from your pain, in the middle of this, we realize that the dancing hand of divine providence is overruling all your history. Come on. Yeah, somebody said, see, You're not left alone to your own designs. There's someone who's not just the author of your life. He is the faithful finisher of you. He hedges us in behind and before. You got to wonder, why am I so beat up? Partly is because depression is God putting his hand on you to tell you, it ain't working. Thy hand was heavy upon me day and night. My juices inside was sapped like the summer heat. That's what David says in Psalm 32. Sometimes depression is God pressing his hand on you, telling your methods aren't working. Your ways aren't working. Get a dream and shift your course from boredom to glory. Get on a new pathway. That book launched my life. I never wanted to play for a losing team. Esther became very, very real to me. So interesting that in 1999, when I prayed, how can I turn America back to God? And that woman came to me and says, I'm going to give you $100,000 to start a gathering in September 2nd, 2000. And the Bolners are all into this whole storyline, but I won't go into that whole deal. But the fact was that I didn't even realize it until recently. I was looking at a book that I wrote in 1999, 2000 called Fast Forward. And I called that call an Esther call. Wow. It's in the last pages of Fast Forward about Columbine. And when the guy said he was going to shoot her, do you believe in Jesus? She said, I do. Boom, he shoots her. And I said, she was a modern day Esther. If I die, I die. Come on. And I said, and a young girl, KJ Berglund, like Esther of old, dedicated a year of her life before the call, fasting one day a week, taking beauty treatment. Maybe you don't know the book of Esther, but I'm not teaching it today. But you just got to hang with me. When she prayed on that mall, she prayed that the Esthers will arise. I feel like I'm in that day right now. And the fulfillment 23 years later, dreaming of a million Esthers on the mall in D.C., daring to believe it's not too late for America. You know what she did? She was a teenager. She was 13 years old. She came back. She came back from that massive call, 400,000 people. She came back. She went to a meeting, and as a teenager, she would do this. She decided she would paint her feet with shoe polish. And she painted stars on her feet. She was just joking around, but Esther actually means star. But there was a woman in another city that the Lord spoke to, go to this gathering, and you're going to find a woman who has the anointing of Esther on her lives. You can tell by what's painted on her feet. Can you? That lady's just walking around and looking at feet. I think God's looking for feet right now to walk out the dreams of God. It's not too late. She found that girl and she anointed her as an Esther. Her life has known a lot of pain, but I tell you what, the pain does not dictate her future. The prophecy remains. Amen. I better speed up this die last night. And so in 2004, the Lord gives us a calling to pray for the ending of abortion in Washington, D.C. I come to Kansas City and I preach at one thing, maybe the 30th or the 31st of December, and I preach on the book of Esther. That they would rise up in an hour to end abortion, and like at Esther, they would break the powers of darkness. After that message, people were lined up at our table, signing up to go to Washington, D.C., to stand in front of that Supreme Court with tape on their mouths, with life tape. Who would have guessed, preaching that book of Esther, a couple would join me to help fulfill the dream of God, Randy and Kelsey Bollander. Our stories wrapped up in Esther. yesterday. I'll get there. Maybe you need to get me there. Dreams unfold step by step. You have to stay in step with your dreams. You've got to go the distance. You got to keep following the voice. The Lord gave us this word, and we went to D.C., and 18 years later, we have seen Roe v. Wade ended. Let's give a shout to God. I don't know how many Esther fasts we did. No food, no water for like 3 days. I'm thinking, I think sometime I'm going to go to heaven, and Jesus is going to say, what were you thinking? Then I remember the scripture. He remembers all our sacrifices. Fast forward. 2017. Something begins to take place. I believe 2017 and the rising up of President Trump issued in a great day of spiritual battle. Now, I am not trying to make a statement on President Trump. I am trying to make a statement of what's happened in the spirit during those days. In 2017, he had been elected in office, and witches worldwide rose up on one day to curse him. You got to ask the question, why witches would rise up in one day and curse President Trump? Because probably we realize that when we judge by what our eyes see and not judge by what God has seen, there were things going forward in that time that witchcraft and the demonic realized we're in a day of spiritual challenge. How are we doing now? You still like me? I'm not telling you to like President Trump, just like me. Because of this, because I'd seen enough and God had put me on an assignment for the ending of abortion, I went up to Estes Park in Colorado. And Colorado, my wife looked it up. She said, some people call it Esther's Park. I go up to Estes Park, and in Estes Park, I fast for 3 days, but probably only made it to two. I saw an egg in eye, and that was over with. I'm sorry, I told somebody the other day that, a lot of times I break my fast, those long ones, at like 37 days. He was so disappointed with me. Dude. Press delete. So I go up there, and on the third night, I have maybe the most epic dream of my life. Because, you see, God gives dreams to bring forth justice. Martin Luther King had a dream. His was a dream of the day. But a dream of the day and the dream of the night are the same. They actually catch you up into God's story. And in this dream, I'm in an open field, and as far and wide as I could see, women were coming from everywhere to hear the book of Esther be taught. It was a revival. I'm looking out there. It's young girls your age. You look like one of them. What's your name? Huh? Adley? Hand of God's on you. Stand up in your generation. Faith. Say, dare to believe for the outrageous on my life. I felt that from the very moment I saw you. I just felt like, God, there's one. If she'll refuse to get bitter and not be discipled by the culture, she'll stand up as an Esther and make history. And in this dream, as far as I can see, it's young girls are coming from everywhere, women, and it's like a revival. There's one man with me. His name is Jeff Mott. And in the dream, I don't have my Bible, but he gives me an ancient Bible. I now know what it means. The fact is that Jeff Mott had a dream of massive praying hands over San Francisco, and it was a call to pray for the LGBT. The Lord was giving me a key of an ancient calling that spirit of Haman, though directed primarily to the Jews, was a spirit that was directed to the destruction of our people, our own children. Welcome to the transgender world.
Hello.
A demonic spirit has been unleashed into this nation. And people are saying, what are we going to do? Fight it politically? Yes, fight it politically. But I'm telling you, we got to deal with this in heavenly realms, because this is a spirit power seeking to destroy this nation. In this dream, I'm given this ancient Bible, and I now know what it means, that I've been called to be a Mordecai, to call forth this Esther movement and this Esther revival. They come, and in the dream, a woman stands up and she teaches the book of Esther, and she says, and these two words in the book of Esther actually mean Nazgul. Who said what? Good. Do you know what it means? You know what it means. You watch the Lord of the Rings. These two words in the book of Esther actually mean Nazgul. In the last part of the return of the king, which I believe Esther will arise in the times of the return of the king. And massive anti-Semitism and hatred to the Jews will rise up. But a massive movement of Esther's, which I am dreaming about, will arise to fight for them. And in this dream, she says, and these two words actually mean Nazgul. I explode out of the dream, and instantly I know what it means, because the Nazgul Witch King in the third part of the Lord of the Rings is actually, the Nazgul Witch King is destroying the armies of men. And he says, no man can kill me. But in the dream, the king's daughter takes off her helmet, lets your hair down, and says, I am no man. She pierces the Nazgul Witch King. I explode out of the dream, and I understand, and there's coming a women's movement that'll have authority over witchcraft, over the powers of death and abortion. And I have, from that moment on, I've been living with this vision of this massive movement of Esther that will arise to be a part of the answer that I prayed in 1999. How can I turn America back to God? You see, your dreams have, if I could say it, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Hi, Becky. That was a voice behind me. Sorry, Becky, I just embarrassed you. Becky's a prophet. She prophesied this Esther movement coming out of Dallas, where I'm headed to mobilize, and you and Kelsey are going to be there with me. But where was I? I am no man. Yeah, there's somewhere in there. So 2000, huh? Oh, you hear a voice behind you. I think sometimes the voice we hear behind us is the journals that we have kept. When you go study your history and you begin to look through the rearview mirror, you realize that your life is not a series of disconnected events. If he's an author, every chapter is building up to something. Every chapter is. So, folks, the stuff that's happened in our lives, the prophetic, we got to go back and kind of connect the dots. Or at least collect the dots. I don't know if we ever fully connect the dots, because he is the one that has the blueprint. But you must be willing to follow each beacon, each shining lamp, each dream, or each book that called your name. You've got to ask the question. I'm asking this question. I mean, I'm reading this book. How much time do I have, Randy? Chase the lion. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. He writes it here. Darn, man. Oh, that was a swear word. At least my mom thought so. He writes, may you discover your God-sized dreams in the pages of this book, and may you have courage to chase it. I read this book, and I got a $5 million lion to chase. A million women on the mall in D.C. And I'm freaking out every minute. I want to reason myself out of this dream. But the Bowler just told me something that I quoted years ago. That, what was it? Reason is the guillotine. What?
Yeah, you got
No, what is it?
Reason is the guillotine of faith.
You get an encounter with God, and suddenly, at least for one moment, you feel like you could rule the world. You know what I'm saying? Boom! Then you wake up in the morning and you think it's going to cost $5 million. No, it's exactly true. And then I have to make the phone calls, and I have to make phone calls to major leaders. And I hate making phone calls, assholes. God, you picked the wrong man. We reason ourselves out of the prophetic. We let fear dominate our future rather than going and jumping into a dream that only God can fulfill. But if he doesn't, I tell you, you ride the wave of history. And you look back and you get a piece of the rock. Zion, I got to tell you today, I felt so caught up in worship today. Was there an open heaven this morning? I haven't felt that for a long time. It's like something happened inside of me. The great God. Where was I?
$5 million.
This is what, something else happened in 2017. A lot of times in our lives, you will enter into prophetic flurries where there's all kinds of prophetic stuff going on. It's because God is actually giving you Genesis dreams. Dreams that begin something. Maybe they're not the defining dream, but they begin something. Have you ever had a Genesis dream when something awakened in you, whether by a prophecy or a prophet showing up at your door or something like that, or someone gives you a 500,000, please. Anybody got it here? You just did one for 3,000. We won't be taking an offering. Where was I? I'm just having too much fun. Whatever the case. Oh, yeah. Pay close attention in your spiritual journey when there is a whirlwind of prophetic activity. Then it leaves for about 30 years. But it was so real to you, it keeps you alive when everyone else is dying. Or you give up on your dreams and you wander in the wilderness the rest of your life. But Caleb did not wander in the wilderness. He lived in the dream that he saw in the promised land. I've said it before, dreams are like spies. They show you what's in the promised land, and they keep you alive when everyone else is dying. Dreams almost have to become more real than reality. And so, I forget where I was. Help me again. This is, 2017, I have this dream. I call women. It goes viral, and we do a three-day Esther fast. It goes viral. I call Paula White, who is President Trump's right-hand intercessor lady. I get a hold of her somehow, and she's in Africa, and she says, I know this is God because I just ended preaching in Africa this very moment, and I was preaching on the book of Esther. See, the whirlwind begins to take place, and you're saying, Lou, this is just only for you. I break that lie. I break that lie that we cannot live a supernatural life. I believe this dream stream moment is actually a visit, an invitation to step into a new world of excitement, no matter how old you are. One dream can change your life forever. 2017, I'm in a meeting in Virginia. In Virginia, and we're planning something on the mall, and David Bradshaw comes to me and says, a woman had a dream before this meeting. She said that God is going to interrupt the agenda of this meeting. He said, I don't want the agenda to be interrupted, but that was the dream. My wife introduced a woman, won't go into it. She shares her story, and a bomb drops in the place. And for 2 hours, we begin to prophesy. 1 million women are going to the mall in D.C. It will be the last stand for America. And they will cry out for their kids. And they will weep because death has climbed through our windows. Listen, sometimes we got to get out of the realm of fairy tale dreams. Well, it's a cool dream.
Let me tell you, Joseph's was not a fairy tale dream. It was a life and death invitation. And sometimes we treat our dreams casualty, but a casual approach to dreams brings casualties. A casual approach to the prophetic brings casualties. So this incredible encounter takes place, and I begin to dream, and since 2017, it's been the photo in my mind that day will come when 1 million women will call on God and maybe save a nation. At that same time in 2017, I didn't know it, but you see, we don't just dream the dreams of our own times. We don't dream the dreams of our own selves. We dream the dreams of our own times. For instance, how many people are dreaming the same dream that you're dreaming? Help me now. Everyone, there is, wherever I turn these days, Esther is on the page. So, a gal named Jenny Donnelly in Portland, 2017, has a dream of 1 million women on the mall praying. I don't even know who she is, but people begin to say, have you heard of this guy, Lou Engel? He's saying the same thing that you're saying. She invites me. She holds a meeting in Estes Park. And she invites me to be a part of me. I don't know who she is, so I refuse to come. I mean, I shouldn't do that. But last year, she invites me to Portland, and I step into a fire pot, a female fire passion. 1,500 women, and it's like a bomb goes off. And God connects us. A Mordecai with an Esther. She's hearing the same thing. I'm hearing the same thing. God really connects us. But there's a difference between Genesis dreams and defining dreams, or Genesis moments and defining moments. Genesis dreams are when an awakening takes place, but defining dreams or defining moments is when you come to the place where you have to push go, come hell or high water. And that is scary. I'm reading this book. I'm flying. On April 13th, I'm flying to Harvest International Ministries Conference. If I can find it. And I read this. In every dream journey, there comes a moment when you have to quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Wow. Let me read it again. In every dream journey, there comes the moment when you have to quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. You have to go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. You have to go big or go home. You have to take the road less traveled or settle for status quo. How are we doing? I read this, and just like he said in a page or two beforehand, he said this. I can find it again. May you discover your God-sized dream in the pages of this book, and may you have the courage to chase it. I wrote down 1 million Esthers, and I have an encounter in the plane. It always happens to me in planes. I don't understand it. I'm just closer to God. It happened to me in 2003, reading a book on Wilberforce. You will raise up a prayer movement for the ending of abortion. We did it. I was weeping on the dream, but this experience that I just experienced was like off the chart. I'm just wailing, you know, trying to cover, just weeping and weeping because the gift of faith has come upon me, at least for a moment. And he says, it's now or never, Lou. You go for the million now, And if it kills you, it kills you. If your reputation is ruined because you couldn't pull it off, if you couldn't raise the money, all he's looking for is my willingness and my faith to step into that which is impossible. But if he comes through, it makes a name for him, and the impossible becomes possible. At one point, I felt it this morning when you were singing God is great, or however you were singing that. I felt as if I could see the great God himself. I almost started roaring in the airplane. The God who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can think or imagine. I was caught up. I'm just messed up. I get on the next flight to get to LA. I sit down in my seat and I said, Lord, I need African American Esthers to join me in this gathering. God, confirm to me this Esther thing that you just shouted at me. And I sit down, and a black lady comes and takes her seat next to me, and her shirt says, Glory. And she's reading a book. I said, What book are you reading? The Esther Anointing. You say, Well, Lou, you know that. Well, you can just basically be a cynic. Or you can believe that God is like I am as a father. He plays peekaboo with his kids. He shows them glimpses and encourages them. It's the dream stream. I'm rocked. I get there at 4:30 on April 13th. I haven't put it together. But Jenny Donnelly somehow has gotten connected with Che and his Harvest International Ministries. And on 4/13, he is actually commissioning her as an apostle, whether you believe in women or apostles or not. I do. I don't know what this issue is. Bottom line is, if the men aren't going to do it, great are the number of the women who will proclaim the good news. 7 out of 8 women are on the mission field. And I said, Lord, that's not right. That shouldn't be. She said, Why wouldn't it be? I said it in the Bible. Great is the number of the women who proclaim the good news. I ordained women to fulfill the task. Jay is commissioning her to be an apostle. And my wife texts her and said, Do you get the reality of this? It's 4:13. It's Esther 4:13. And Mordecai says to Esther, You think you're going to save your life if you hide your identity? Who knows for such a time as this? It's a flip out. Why would I receive that encounter on the very night that same woman who had the same dream is being commissioned into? I get up to preach on 4:14. Esther 4:14. Who knows? For such a time, and I share it, and a bomb drops in the place. All I can say, Cindy Jacobs whispers to Trez, and she says, What's this 4:14 thing? She says, It's Esther 4:14. Cindy Jacobs gets up and says, The mama bears, they're coming to fight for their children. The mama bears are going to come and fight for their children. It explodes. The operations leader of HIM said, I have never heard, I'm boasting in God, a more powerful message to create a movement. I knew that for such a time as this, as a Mordecai, I was called into this thing, and I'm calling every man a Mordecai. I believe every man a Mordecai. We had dreams. Christina Sebastinus had a dream that we were on the mall with women 2 years ago, that we were going to be there on 2024, on October 12th. That's what I felt like the Lord said. I want you to do it on the Day of Atonement. I want you to hold this gathering on the Day of Atonement. Let me bring you back. See, sometimes God slides in several dream stream lines at the same time, because it was in 2012. I still got a few minutes. The Lord told me, Randy. I have a dream that I'm with Bill Johnson. And in the dream, I think I shared this maybe the last time, but I was in Bill Johnson. And I said, Bill, where can you catch fish along the Sacramento River? He said, you can catch fish where the river turns red. I run down the river and it turns red and fishermen are all along the banks. I wake up and I realize the Lord has said, Redding is on the Sacramento River. I am going to release the river of the blood. I'm going to release the river of the sacrament. And it is going to loose the greatest harvest. We called it the Great Communion Revival. Last year, I ended up leading a communion. We did 40 days of communion. This is a speed dial. There was a book in the place where we're staying by Benny Johnson called The Power of Communion. It's an unbelievable, simple but unbelievable book of the power of the blood to break witchcraft and occultism and to see kids get saved and drawing bloodlines. Folks, we're going to get a revelation of the power of the blood. One lady, a pastor's wife, poured wine in front of her church at front door, poured wine and says, I'm drawing a bloodline in the front of my church tonight. A witch is in the meeting. Some guy calls her out by name, a word of knowledge, says, you're a witch. Get out of my head. She flees screaming. She runs out. The pastor's wife follows her. And the witch says this, I left my purse in there. You know, would you go get it for me? And the pastor's wife said, well, you can go get it. She says, you know I can't go get it. It's this bloodline. It's this bloodline. We don't even know the power of the blood. There's coming a revelation of the power of the blood. It will pull down the accuser of the brethren between black and white, between Jew and Gentile. They're going to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. In this context, Benny Johnson's book rocks me. I come back from Israel, leading communion. 2 days later, I have a dream. And in the dream, I'm telling Bill Johnson the original Sacramento River dream. And in the dream, I begin weeping in my dream, and I'm crying, saying, it's the Great Communion Revival. It's the Great Communion Revival. I can't get it off my mind. My wife says, Lou, you've got to go take communion with Bill and Benny Johnson. She's on her deathbed. She's passing away. And I call Bill and said, can I spend time with you? Take communion with Benny. He said, yes, she can only do 20 minutes, but we would love you to come. I go there to Redding, California. The night before, about 20 of us go down to the Sacramento River to take communion. We pull off into this place. We don't know where the significance of it, but there's a sign that says, and you see these red cliffs across the way? When it rains, that red dirt goes into the river. It's where the river turns red. And next to it is the power station. Cynics or little children, because he hides these things from the wise, intelligent, and he reveals them to babes. I'm rocked. The next day I go there. Benny is not well, but she's alert, and I share with her, and I just say, I want to thank you for your book. You've been doing communion for years. I believe that Redding and your life is the headwaters of the Great Communion Revival. And I have come here to take communion with you and to tell you that if you pass away, I want you to lay your hands upon me. That I would carry your legacy to the earth of the Great Communion Revival. She lays her hands, she prays, shares communion. And basically, as I understand, it was like her last conversation. I stand here today carrying a legacy of a Great Communion Revival vision. So here's the crazy thing. I begin to ponder this million women on the mall on the Day of Atonement. And I thought, what if women, a million, would take communion and atone for our nation with all of its bloodshed and all of its wokeism and all of its white supremacy and all of its demonization? What if a blood would speak better? than all this blood in the streets, this blood of abortion. And I begin to dream, what if the legacy of Benny Johnson would be a million women loosing the Great Communion revival? I was with a Jewish rabbi, Messianic rabbi, just this past week. I led communion in front of the wall there, one of the great moments of my life. And he said, I said, would you teach me on the book of Esther? He said, you know what the Day of Atonement actually means? Yom Kippur. He means Yom is day, like Kippur. It is a day like Purim. No, you didn't get that. That Yom Kippur, the day, the Hebrew name of the day of atonement, is a day like Purim. Purim was when Haman casts the lots and a decree of destruction was released. That's what the Day of Atonement. It's a do or die moment. It's the last hope for America. The women are coming to the mall on a day like Purim. That was the original dream. 2017. It would be the last stand for America. If you actually believe that, you would get every woman in America there. If we actually believe the prophetic, every man would become a Mordecai, sending your wives and your girls to cry out to God for the sake of a nation. I don't want to do this. I don't want to look at the heavy weights of a dream too big, that if I die moment. But if it's part of the storyline, I've got to believe that that even isn't the last story, because we're not just dreaming about a million women on the mall. I'm believing for a million Esthers on the wall in Jerusalem who will fight the final battles of the demonic rage against the Jewish peoples. So yesterday, on the day before Kelsey's birthday, can I ask what number? 53. That's a good one. Isaiah 53. If I die, I die. A lamb slain. Scout said, now I can tell people. We need to be stunned by our prophecies. We need to look at them until those prophecies shake us to the core. If they don't, you'll never move. We need to rediscover awe. We need an awe awakening. You didn't just have a dream. The God of the universe gave you an assignment of an Esther movement that would break witchcraft, that would break abortion. But here's the last thing. We just did a 40-day season of fasting, taking communion every day, and pleading the blood of Jesus over a vision of 100,000 LGBT saved and transformed, because this is part of our assignment. After that fast, God gave us revelation. I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, my prophet friend Chris Berglund always gets dreams. I want dreams too. Oh, well, yeah, thank you very much. One of you want dreams too. I said, God, I want dreams too. I want to be a friend of God. Would you give me a dream like the life tape was to the abortion issue? Would you give me a dream that will give me the entrance to 100,000 LGBT? I go to bed and I have a dream. And it's two words, an explosion in the dream. Delta factor. Boom. I wake up with a dream. Yes, sir. What? What's a delta factor? I have no clue. So I said, Lord, I know that was you. but I don't know what it means. So I'm going back to sleep. Give me a dream to tell me what delta factor means. You gotta love God. In the dream, I'm in this hallway and a high-level military officer is walking by. I think it's the captain of the hosts of heaven. He's kind but strong. And I say to him, excuse me, sir, what's a delta factor? And he says, it's a liter of a million. Instantly, delta is that triangle Greek letter that means change. It's a change factor. And immediately I begin to think of that movement in Reading called Change, where they're getting testimonies of LGBT who have been saved and transformed and brought out of the lifestyle. What if there were a million testimonies on the change factor? But then the Lord spoke to me and he said, but Lou, you're the delta factor. It's a leader of a million Mordecais. And Kelsey, a leader of a million adoptions. Because you prayed it and you preached it and you're not left off the hook. Who knows how many thousands of adoptions have taken place because you took a stand, preached it, you did it, and we did it there in the call Nashville and a movement of and Cincinnati. Who knows? But I'm not content until I see the anointing of a leader of a million. And I think, what if I'm a leader of a million women who go to D.C. and they begin to pray for their children? See, because there was a book that was written way back on the Lord of the Rings by a man named Francis Frangipane called This Day We Fight. Remember in the movie? There will be the days when the bonds of faithfulness are broken and we abandon one another, but not this day. This day we fight. And in it, he says, I searched for revivals, the prayer movements before every revival, and I only found one revival that didn't have a prayer movement. And so I went to the Lord and said, Lord, why wasn't there a prayer movement for the Jesus movement in the 70s? And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, oh, I had my prayer movement. You see, the women of America were losing their kids to the counterculture revolution of the 60s. And I called a million women to pray for them. And I answered them in the 70s with the Jesus movement. And I realized, oh, that was not an accident. When that hit me, I said, Lou, we're in a countercultural revolution far worse than the 60s were ever imagined. That they're actually taking body parts off of kids for this demonic ideology. It's stunning. This can only be the ideology of demons. Can only be the ideology of demons. And folks, I believe that a million women will go to the mall, young and old, and they will cry out for their friends, and they will cry out for their kids, and transgender kids will have encounter with Jesus. He'll answer the cries of Esther. And so yesterday, we end up, Kelsey has a dream of a man she's never heard called Andrew Mason. Just a couple weeks ago, she doesn't know that within 2 days, I'm meeting with a man named Andrew Mason, whose his movement is called Heaven in Business. We go to his gathering, and what do? They take us in Pennsylvania to Sight and Sound, the massive theater about Moses, and I'm rocked. And we end up meeting with the leaders and the owners of the business, and they fall in love with us. Well, maybe we fell in love with them, but whatever the case, we gained favor. Little did we know that I would be here this weekend, and there is an Esther Theater taking place in Branson. And yesterday, we go to that theater. It wouldn't have happened unless you dreamed the dream. They gave us 15 free tickets. Because you see, Esther was an orphan and she was adopted. You're already living out the Esther story. What kind of queens are these folks going to be? It's the story of God. Every person has a story, and it's time for us to pay attention to his signals, to his dreams, to his whispers, because the whispers of today become a roar of tomorrow. Little did I know that I was going to be doing those Esther things 20-some years ago, and now I'm dreaming of a million, and I'm saying, God, please come through. But I do believe this. I've come here to preach today because what we did together when we went, and you and I and Randy and Therese, we all went to that crazy place where Zion fake playing his guitar. Little known that you would be here today leading worship back then. We had no clue, but the story goes on. And today, the whisper is becoming a roar. Go back over your lives. Look at every book that lit you up, that lit you on fire. Why was it lighting you on fire? Because it was calling your name. This book has become a burning book for my soul. I got a calling from this book when a man wrote it and said, I'm praying that people will read this book and find their Genesis moment. I have found it in an airplane reading that book. Or what about going back over your lives and asking the question, what people came into your lives that lit you up? Where I led communion just the other week in Pennsylvania, and my coach that I hadn't seen for 45 years shows up, whom I loved, and we took communion together. And when I heard about he was coming, I was actually meditating on what I had preached on, and I was, that pastor was saying, how Jesus said to his disciples, how I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. I began weeping profusely. And the Lord said, that's what I meant by that. It's what I feel when I take communion with you. Father, I pray right now that you would release a dream stream. Forget the past. Except go back to your storylines and see what God was speaking to you. Go back and review your history. Go back and review your prophecies. Did you leave something? Let it turn you into awe. I believe this church, Bridge Church, is in a moment of great transition, and everyone in here is going to be caught up into a dream that's bigger than your boredom, than your pain. It's bigger than all your stuff, your past failures. Father, I pray right now that the bridge would be a prophetic explosion. I don't know who you are, the lady, these two guys, two folks, yes, but the Holy Spirit's been on you the whole time. I have felt this fire. There's a big dream exploding in your spirit. You're to ask largely. Some of you have to come out of the hiding in the caves of insecurity, beginning to say, Lord, I'm going to believe what happened to me when I was a little girl and a dream was dancing in my soul, but all the pain crushed it. Just because it crushed it doesn't mean it's over with. Pull it back up. Father, I pray for the bridge. I pray this day will be a bridge into divine destiny for many people, young and old. I pray for these young people like Daniel. They got dreams and interpretation of dreams. I'm asking you, God, to invade their lives with your voice. Father, I am asking you, living God, that these will be the leaders in a generation to come. We ask that, God, you would send dreams on Gen Z and on Alpha. And we just say, Lord, you're not done with America. I'm believing, I'm asking God to raise, to bring a million Esthers to the mall. I'm asking you, Lord, every man a Mordecai, send your woman and fight for America. I'm asking God that you would raise up a prayer movement out of this place with that little prayer hub that's going on with those women. I hesitate to say it. I hesitate to say it, Sally, but you have been on my heart. Joel chapter 2, come out of your bridal chamber and mobilize prayer. It's time, it's urgent. We're in the days, we're losing a nation. And if we lose a nation, we're losing our kids. Father, in the name of Jesus, light a fire tonight. Lord, let this be the Kansas City catalyst. of an Esther calling that was birthed by this couple with me 23 years ago. I am asking you, as we went there yesterday, I didn't go there to look at a theater play. I went there to build an altar and to say, God, here I come. Here I come. Give us courage. Give us strength. Of your dream in some ways is dictated by your size of God. Did you hear that? The size of your dream may actually dictate or show you the size of your God. Oh, brothers and sisters, He is a great God, but is He great in us? We must move from the great God to He is great in us. Come on, lift your hands and say, God, do surgery on my soul. Rip the veil and call me. I bless these young people. Give them dreams. Give us all dreams. Show us the greatness of God. I bless you in Jesus. If you want to build an altar, young lady, when you walked in, I could feel the presence of the Lord on you. The soil on which the dreams are poured out. Today, in the name of Jesus, we declare some of you are being cloaked in the multicolored coat of Joseph. That's who you are. You're the beloved of God. We break every lie, every bit of shame, every bit of failure. We say, clothe them with the sonship and daughtership of the Father so they can dream dreams. Come on. When we begin to know He loves us, we make ourselves available to His dreams. Come on, I'm praying for old men. Daniel, at age 83, was moving angels and demons with his fastings. Oh, Lord, raise up the Daniel deployment in Jesus' name, God. Thank you, Lord. I would encourage you, when you go home, don't just let these words drop. Go home. Wherever you're going, go ahead, enjoy your food. But say, God, I'm going to begin to ask you to invade my life with your thoughts, with your options. Amen, young man. What's your name?
I'm David.
Lord, we bless David. The Bible says, I have found a man like David in whom will fulfill my great heart. Make him like his name. I have found David. Let heaven roar, I have found David. Mark him with his own name today. This is who you are, David, no matter what's happened to you. You are the beloved. God says the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the earth, seeking someone whose heart is completely His. And then He said, I have found David. I have found you, David. That's what God said. I want to be a delta factor. You say, I'm not there yet, but Lord, I'm going to believe that I'm a delta factor. Some of us got to believe. Ask Him largely. Go ahead and ask Him, Lord, give me an influence of a 10. In my sphere, give me an influence of a 10. It might be in business, might be in other dimensions, but Lord, oh, I want to live out the great story of God that you wrote about my life. Lord, I want to be a Delta factor for America. God, I'm asking you to raise up 1 million Esthers virtually for the wall of Israel, for the Hadassahs that have no one to save them. Living God, stir the prophetic all over the earth, God. Bless you in Jesus' name.
Come, holy spirit.
Powerful things the Lord has done in my life, it's been after the preaching is done when I press into that. And I think we're at a unique point as a church family. Super, super timely. Lou, thank you. Father, I speak a blessing over those that need to go, and I ask you continue to visit those who can press in this moment. We look to see you wherever you move, so we look with eyes wide open. Reveal yourself in Jesus' name. Thank you.